This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media.
Hello, and welcome back to Betch Labs. I'm Jordana.
I'm Samantha.
And we are the Betches.
And I have my dog again this week.
And Samantha has her dog again this week. Bruce is here.
Bruce is here, chilling in my lap.
Yes.
Trying to eat everything.
Sam's a mom now. It's very exciting.
The potty training is going horrifically.
Yeah, I just...
I don't know how I'm going to do this with a human.
I just babysat my nieces on Friday night, and I think we were going over this discussion of, like, what's harder, like, a dog or like, a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a kid is definitely more expensive.
And harder. You can screw them up, and you can screw them up
real bad.
Oh, yeah,
like, mentally. Right. Like, Bruce probably, like, isn't going to be, like, talking to a therapist about how you give him, like, relationship problems and, like... 15 years.
Right. But he's definitely upset about, like, the current status of the training and having to go outside. He hates to walk.
Right. I feel like you can, like, fuck up a dog, but, like, you have to be, like, real bad. Like, much worse than, like, being a bad parent.
No, you can definitely, like, fuck up a dog, like, by training them shitty, but, like, you...
Yeah, but the dog's not going to remember the time you said it was, like, bad at playing the piano.
I think he's really just upset at the situation. So, look, he's crying. He's literally crying because of this walking situation.
You don't know that.
He's crying. There's definitely a tear.
Maybe he's crying because you keep talking about him in the third person. He's here and he wishes he could be like, listen, like, it's not what I'm upset about at all. Like, I'm going through a bad breakup. Please leave me alone.
My girlfriend from the kennel didn't text me back.
Exactly. Like, you're just assuming, like, things that, like, are upsetting him, and that's never good.
That's true. Fine. Okay.
Anyway, let's talk about some TV, because there's some great TV on this week.
Yeah. TV is, like, the only thing on my mind at this moment.
Yeah, because, like, okay. The news is it's whatever. Okay, yeah. So Big Little Lies.
Depressing.
I never read the book, full disclosure. Did
Me
you read
either.
The book? Okay, you
know. No, but I read the Wikipedia page for the book, so I knew how the series was going to end.
Oh, you literally are obsessed with spoilers. You cannot be surprised, like, once.
It's just, I must know right away.
Okay.
When I was a child, I used to read the end of a book. Like,
that's like Billy Crystal in When Harry Met Sally.
I guess I am like him.
It's creepy.
Okay, anyway. Big Little Lies.
Really unrealistic, but, like, love the show. I thought the end sequence with, like, the crashing, with the beating up was, like, so great.
So you love violence?
I never give a shit about cinematography or, like, any of that, like, editing shit. But, like, that made me feel things.
With, like, the crashing waves.
Yeah. Like, I think if you can make me feel things, I think you can probably agree with this. Like, that means they, like, had some good editing.
Yeah. Great editing. That should be an award.
Yeah. It should be, like, on the Academy.
Feel something.
Or the Emmy board.
Okay. But so I love the show. Loved. Best show I've seen in a really long time.
Well, great cast, so, like, obviously.
Great cast, but also just, like, juicy and amazing.
Right. The end was, like, okay, Aileen kind of told me the end. Okay, spoilers ahead. If you don't want to know them, stop listening. Mm-hmm. Aileen kind of told me that, like, Celeste's kids are the ones that, or her son is the one that's actually hitting her.
Yeah.
So, like, I was annoyed about that because, like, that spoiler was ruined. I did not think about the whole, like, Jane, the guy is, like, you don't think about the fact that, like, oh, she, like, he, like, doesn't make it to orientation, and, like, also, like, how are all these parents going to the school so often if they have, like, they're so fucking rich that they have these, like, amazing beach homes and, like, they're so wealthy? How are they?
They're always at home.
None of them have a nanny.
Mm-hmm.
They're all just constantly picking their kids up from school and going to school fundraisers, which are, like, totally absurdly budgeted.
And being, like, overly involved in their children's lives.
Yeah. Why was there a paparazzi at the fundraiser?
The fundraiser was so over the top. It was like the Met Gala. Like,
right.
Like, who gets their hair done, like, with a wig and, like, a whole thing, like Renata did? Like, she, like, for a fundraiser. Like, it's a fundraiser.
Right.
Like,
the money is supposed to go to charity. How, like...
No, it's not a charity. It's to the private school that they... Oh, no, they send their kids to public school. Right. So it's like a government-sponsored, massive-ass fundraiser.
Yeah, like, literally all the parents are at the school every day. Like, Nathan is at the school every day.
Nathan and Bonnie.
Yeah, they're both at the school every day. Celeste is at the school, like, extremely often.
Right.
Which I guess she doesn't work, so, like, that the Madeline thing, whatever. Ed is there a lot. I don't know what he does, but, like...
No, Ed just stands at his standing desk in the living room and, like...
Like,
chills.
Makes, like, sort of, like, contentious comments.
Yeah. No, they're all a little bit ridiculous, but, like... Obviously, and we've talked about this before, the best shows are about rich people, rich, powerful people who do scandalous, dirty things.
I don't mind shows about poor people who do scandalous things, too. But, like, I guess...
Fine. But it's more like rich, powerful
it's more
people
like,
doing bad things.
It's more like Great Gatsby-esque to have, like...
Right. That's my favorite book.
Right. It gives you, like, this feeling of, like, of
decadence.
It's like decadence and like power and like, I yeah. don't know.
It makes you, scandal. It just like attracts you in some way.
Right. Cause it's seemingly perfect, yeah. but it's not.
Right. But it was super, okay. With Jane, okay. Jane would have recognized Perry because like Celeste is always posting pictures of her perfect life on Facebook.
That is she?
That was definitely well, like a scene where she was always like taking pictures of her kids and then posting them on Facebook. And it's like, does Jane not have a Facebook? Or does she, are right. they not friends?
And like the entire time, even though he's very involved in the kids' lives and it's like super dad, it's just never like right. cross paths.
And also if he's this like abusive husband, he would definitely make it a point to know every one of her friends and like who they were, especially since he like had
maybe
it
he
out
just,
for
like,
Ziggy
didn't even
anyway.
Know her name.
I think it's just a plot inconsistency.
So it's just like weird like Ziggy's his son.
Yeah.
That
oh,
was
yeah.
like kind of the weird part for me.
Ziggy and Max and Josh are all brothers. And
they're all like the same age. So like also like I didn't think it was that realistic. That, I mean, I guess it's not, I don't know. But like it seemed like he was like so obsessed with her that he almost like wouldn't cheat on her. Like
no.
even when he was away and they were like having FaceTime sex.
He obviously like, has like lots of rage and like a sexual aggression.
Right.
So I
no,
think
clearly,
it doesn't probably but, end with his wife.
I guess. I just like had this feeling like he was like so obsessed with her and like obsessed with like keeping her that he actually wouldn't cheat on her.
Right. I think that I honestly feel like what this show like did for like abuse was really interesting. Because in the beginning, like let's say the first or second episode, it like wasn't totally clear
that he
like,
was like
it was
really abusive.
Right. Like you thought he was just like a little bit in
I mean,
it,
people have like kind of like violent sex where they like spank or like choke each other. So like that's right. I don't think people consider that. Like look at like Billions. You've seen Billions?
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Right. And no
yeah.
one's like that's abusive.
But that's totally but that's, consensual and they both like it.
Right. Well, it's less like spontaneous, I think. Almost.
Well, it's less like I'm hitting you out of rage and more like I'm hitting you because we both agree that this is something we enjoy.
Right. But but that's I'm saying that's like kind of a blurry line. Like with Celeste and Perry, they were kind of like both. She said like they both kind of turn each other on by this rage. So I can see how it would be like this kind of blurry line of like obviously when he's just like taking her head and like smashing it into the wall.
Yeah.
Like that's not like sexually like. Arousing.
I don't think that she actually believes what she was saying. I think that this is just like a big little lie that she tells herself.
Right. Oh, that's like a good point. Maybe she doesn't yeah. actually get turned on by that.
No, she's just scared. That's like the way abuse works is that like the woman
you tell
like,
yourself like you deserve it or
yeah.
ask for it or like,
yeah, or I
things.
Made him angry.
Right.
Like, so I think that's really interesting. And like, I hope that there are people out there who like are maybe in relationships like this and like watch this and be like, oh, like that's me. Like we look okay, but we're actually not okay because like my husband hits me and then like.
Well, it's like that's how Instagram
me.
Is fake news. Facebook's fake
right,
news.
Right, right, right. Celeste's life is fake news.
It's kind of like almost like anything that it's like even the self-aware posts that anyone puts on like Facebook or Instagram or any of those things, those are still kind of fake news because you're still doing it and you still like want likes. Even
what
if
do you
it's
mean
like
self-aware posts, like
even posts that are like, I don't normally do this or like, I don't like, or like I'm making a joke right. out of this, or like I'm calling out this kind of thing. Like those people still want likes.
Yeah.
Like comedians who like post like funny shit, like they still like right. want the affirmation. It's still curated. Even if it's like non-curated curation, it's still like.
Right. Well,
curated.
I think it's like the best possible attempt at being earnest on a platform that doesn't cater to like earnest positivity and like
right.
genuine emotion.
But there's just like generally really like no actual way to almost like post anything for the public and not have it have you want to like get some sort of validation out of it in some small way.
Right. Well, I think almost everything that we do in public in front of anyone like is
right.
is on some level for validation. Like there's no way that you're
right.
not considering what
if,
people
if
are thinking
public,
of you
right.
when you do something.
That's why we were saying like everything public is sort of like a little bit of bullshit. Like we were
right.
talking about like people who post like happy 1 month since my wedding. Like I love my husband so much. Like he's my best friend. It's like, yeah, you could text him that and like I'm sure
right.
he would feel like just as strongly that like he would almost probably I feel like I would feel like better if I got like an individual text because it would be like personal
right.
and like wouldn't be for anyone else. It would just be for me.
Right.
Like this is almost like world, like look how happy I am. It's been like X amount of months since like this
my
happened.
Wedding.
Right. And
right.
like, don't you agree that like I look really happy?
Right. No, I completely agree with you. I think that, yeah.
Big
it's,
little lies.
It's true. Right. I mean, yeah, people are seeking validation. That's pretty much it. Like, it's almost like it just shows why, like, boundaries and privacy, as much as, like, we want to be completely uncensored and be able to say whatever we want, like, on principle, boundaries and privacy, like,
make are things important more special
and are valuable. And, like, it's just, I don't know if that's something that people, like, understand or can appreciate because of the fact that, like, the, like, we're all used to getting so much validation and there's this sense of, like, we need to keep up.
Right. Well, it's like, it's almost like if everyone's doing it, I feel like I have to do it. Or right. else, like, it says something to not put anything up. It says everything you do says something. Or
it says either
say
I don't have something to put up or I don't care and I think I'm too good to put something
right.
up.
Right. It's hard to.
But most of the time, I feel like people will be afraid that, like, people would think they don't have anything to put up.
Right. There's a whole world around, like, the psychology of, like, social posts, which it must be, like, a new and evolving thing since it hasn't been around that long.
I would consider us to be experts on that matter. So. If anyone has any questions.
By, like, anecdotes, not by, like, case studies. Not by theoretical research.
No, we have not done any empirical research right. with, like, statistically significant results. But, like, you understand the mindset of people, yourself included, right. myself included, when we post things and, like, the way that we want.
Right.
Like,
no one posts things with hopes that no one sees and judges it.
No, everyone posts things and hopes. I hope that this adds to people's image of who I am in a positive way and makes people think that I am cool or trendy or different or right. special.
Or self-aware.
Or self-aware or funny. Whatever right, yeah. it is that, like, creates your self-concept, you're always posting to validate what the image right.
and
you
here's the thing
projects.
It makes you pretend like you're more a certain way than you are because, like, there's nothing interesting about someone who's, like, moderately into food. Or, like, someone right. who's, like, kind of into fashion. Right. You can, like, even though, like, a lot of people are, that's, like, real, but that's not interesting. What's real, what's, like, cool, what's, like, interesting is someone to have, like, a passion for, like, food right. or animals right. Or, like, any of that
so
shit.
It becomes that almost, like, even, like, your passions in many situations, or not your passions, but even people's passions in many situations just kind of become this, like, image building, like, mechanism
right that feeds into itself and might right. not even be real because right. again no one cares if you're moderately into fashion if you right. dabble in the fashion world
right like how much do I really like food well you better believe I really love it because I posted like all these pictures
right.
of my food
and now I'm gonna prove to you just how much I love it
right and just how good of a food photographer I am
right because that's who I am
right I'm just really into vestibules
not,
right now
right exactly right, but that's not who any – everyone is, like, so much more nuanced than the images that they project, but, like, I feel like they want to seem more consistently a certain way.
Right, well, because, it's boring to be, like, dabbler. Like,
right.
Like, and also, no one's posting, like, their – like, you might post a meme, like, a fake self-aware relatable meme, like, oh, I like to sit around and watch Netflix in my pajamas. It's like, okay, so then why don't you post an Instagram of yourself watching Netflix in your pajamas if that's, like, so you know?
Right, but it's like that's – first of all, that's so everyone. And, like, also, like, that doesn't explain anything about who you are as a person.
It kind of does.
Despite, like, your best.
If every night the only thing you do is go home and watch Netflix, it actually says a lot about you.
I think a lot of people do that.
I think they do, but
I don't think that's, like, a nuanced, like thing.
No,
about
it does
someone.
Say something about you. It says that you need a hobby or a social life, or maybe you have social anxiety if you can't, like, see people.
Do you think those people are, like, really never, ever doing anything else? Or they're just, like, a lot of nights they're just, like, tired and they.
No, I don't mean, you know what I mean. I don't mean, like, every person who, like, goes home, like, watch Netflix, this is them. Like, but I mean, you can, if you have something else to do, you're probably doing it.
Right.
You know?
I agree. Okay. So speaking of people who are, like, not really self-aware, but definitely want to be projected a certain way, let's talk about Vanderpump Rules.
Great.
The reunion, which is my favorite part of the whole. Of the whole series because it's like everyone having like because the whole time on when I'm watching it like at home like the actual episodes I'm like these people are talking so much shit about each other like either behind closed doors or to like the confessional camera and like they know that like someone sees it and like the reunion is like after everyone has like seen the whole show and like seen what everyone has said and like mm-hmm. has had a chance to like digest that and like that is so much more interesting than like how they like fake interact with each other
right. My favorite thing about
not being confronted about all those things.
My favorite thing about the reunion is that like Andy Cohen asked them questions about like their behavior. Like you said that like so-and-so person was like old. It's like he's forcing them basically to defend things that they said when they were drunk. And then they have to escalate the way that they feel. So it's like,
or they could just be like, you know what? Like, sorry, shouldn't have said that.
Right. They would never say
which,
that.
Like, they kind of, I mean, Katie kind of said that.
Right. Right. Okay. So that was like very rare. But most of the questions he asked were like, you said this. And it's like, they were completely right. wasted when they said that. Like, why can't they just be like, I was wasted. That was dumb. Instead, they're like, well, she is fat. Right. Like, you know.
It's, right. Well, James is just like the world's biggest douchebag. Right. But he wasn't even that bad last night. I feel like he's been so much worse.
I think he's going to get a good edit next season to make up for the really two seasons worth of editing.
That's the only reason he's back. Otherwise, who gives a shit about him? Right. But I did like that they were kind of like breaking the fourth wall a little bit and talking about the waitresses who were accusing him of trying to sleep with them and basically saying how like they're doing it so they can get part of the crew and so that they can be on the show.
Right. I appreciated that too. It's very honest.
It's like real because like that's why like any, that's like half the reason, probably at least half the reason any of them do any of the shit that they do is so that they can remain relevant, get screen time, get promotions, get like all that other shit. And like, yeah, like of course, like it's very convenient to sleep with someone on the show who has a girlfriend and like insert yourself into the storyline.
Right.
Like, I definitely think he did it, but like, I can definitely
see. That's why they did it.
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's
why it's the image you want to project.
Right. But like, how sad of a person do you have to be to like want to be on like Vanderpump Rules as like a adulterous waitress?
Well, it's the most successful show on Bravo, I feel like, at the moment. So like,
right. But like, that's such a selling your soul kind of move.
Okay. But if that's like the track you're on, like, that is what you want to do.
If you're going to do it right.
Another thing about the reunion that I like always appreciate is that like, I really don't even ever know what they're fighting about, like, in the season. Like, I couldn't even tell you what the premise of the arguing this season was. But it almost doesn't even matter because their personalities are such that, like, no matter what particular thing they were arguing about, they would find something else to argue about. And it would always play out the same way. Whether it was, like, so-and-so, like, Lala called like Katie teams, fat. Right. But she could have just said that, like, her wedding dress was ugly. Like, it could have been anything. Like, it was always going to be those three. Like, it was always going to be that team against that team. And this person's going to always act this way because that's who they are. And this person's always going to act this way. And it doesn't matter what anyone actually said.
Because everyone kind of also like wants you to act the way that you've been acting because like now they like feel like they know you. And when you act out of character, they're like, whoa, like that's not what I signed up for. Like almost like it was almost like it's like kind of sick. But like when Katie like apologized to Lala, I was like, whoa, like what the fuck? Like I don't want to see that. I want to see them like screaming at each other and being like really petty and being really like inappropriate and being absurd because like if I wanted to see like a normal healthy interaction, like I wouldn't fucking turn on Bravo.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Right. I love what Lala was wearing. That white thing.
I thought her skin looked great and she looked really pretty.
I think she looked like
I don't really like her, but she did look really good.
Also the view that they film from that gives them all double chins. It's like not good.
Yeah.
I bet they do that on purpose. Because they want you to think like, oh, they got fat.
But they look better, I think, on the reunions than they do, like, in the show.
That's because they have full hair and makeup.
Right. Serious hair. And, like, Stassi was, like, very dark.
Yeah. They can plan their outfits for 6 months if they want. Yeah, no, it's good.
I wonder if they're drunk for the reunion. I feel like not really.
I'm sure they're, like...
Buzzed.
Buzzed. Yeah.
Right.
Or, like, on whatever pills they're, like, diagnosed or prescribed.
Right.
No, I thought it was good, and I can't wait... Because, obviously, the third one's going to be the best.
Yeah, they always... So, they always keep watching, obviously.
I want more about, like, Katie and Tom, but, like...
I like how Shelby left the room because he, like, doesn't give a shit about, like, the... Yeah.
Just FYI, listeners, Shelby is, like, the producer on this, and he usually sits and listens to us, but he's just so bored of hearing about Vanderpump Rules. He's probably so happy there's only two more episodes.
It's probably the worst, like... 30 minutes of his week. Yeah. Anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about girls like at the end of it because like I don't want to talk about girls now because it's like annoying me and I feel like we're going to debate it and I like
I don't really know
if we have any time to like really get into it in the way that I like want to and I'm going to get like a little heated
because I feel like girls is more interesting than Dear Betch.
I feel like you're strongly really into it and I'm kind of fine. Let's talk about it. Let's put a 3-minute cap on it.
Okay. Get out everything.
So I feel like the storyline is, like, absurd. Obviously, the dialogue is good, but, like, I find the storyline to be so preposterous that, like, it is turning me off from the thing. Like, clearly Hannah would get an abortion, one. Yeah. Clearly Adam isn't just, like, deciding to leave Jessa, and, like, she's, like, totally chill with it. Clearly Marnie isn't, like, oh, like, I've had this revelation that I'm actually, like, a selfish bitch after talking to, like, the pawn shop worker.
Yeah.
Like, let alone, like, her husband.
She would never take that.
It wouldn't be, like, from him at all.
Right.
Like, it just, like, wouldn't.
Right.
And, like, that was the, I think that's, like, more, last season I felt like they set up these scenarios that were, like, much more relatable, mm-hmm. and, like, I felt, like, connected to them. Mm-hmm. like the idea of like you know, like a love triangle, or the idea of like someone telling their like someone revealing like their feelings for someone who doesn't feel anything back. Like that was, I felt much more of like a real
No, I agree. No, for sure. This is like, I don't I like this season. I know you think I'm like super into it. I am. I really like it. I'm not looking for it to be realistic. I don't like it as much as I like put it this way. Like I just did a catch up of like the whole season pretty much in like I was able to wait to watch some episodes. So I'm not like literally counting down the days to it, but I do like it. And like, I don't really care that it's not realistic, because despite what actually happens, like, I don't feel like I'm watching it on that level. I feel like I'm watching it to like understand their personalities and understand like their mindsets, which I relate to a lot of
but
their
mindsets. Don't think that they would do the things, the scenario, like I don't believe their mindsets are consistent, which is why it annoys me, because I don't believe that they're like acting in ways that like would align with their mindsets.
Yeah, but like that's like for the sake of the show, but it still like does work. Like, yeah, Marnie's like crazy and she gets these like weird ideas out of everywhere. Like, remember when she thought that she should like perform like stronger at that thing? Like, Marnie gets weird ideas, wrong ideas, bad ideas from places all the time. So this is just like another time where she just like took a stranger's fucking stupid idea and like pursued that. But it happens
suddenly
to be
decided to be self-aware.
Right. Well, in this situation happens to be right, but like it could have been any other situation where she did something dumb on account of some weird interaction she had. Hannah also like doesn't have anything together. Like, I'm not that shocked that Hannah, like, as a 27-year-old was like, oh, yeah, like, I could just, like, be, like, I don't find it, like, that unrealistic.
I feel like
I think
she's
that
a smart,
just...
her character is smart, and she wouldn't do this. But anyway.
Maybe she wouldn't have a baby,
Elijah,
but everyone
continues
else.
To be the best part of the show, of course. I think we can both agree on that.
I think, and everyone agrees with that.
And with that, let's move on to Dear Batch.
Yeah. We didn't get as heated as we could have, but maybe next time.
Maybe next time.
Yeah.
I think when the season's over, we'll have a lot to say.
Yeah.
Dear Batches.
Oh, I just have a lot of feelings.
Dear Batch, first of all, love the podcast. You guys are hilarious. I recently realized how like 90% of your Dear Batch advice pretty much boils down to just fucking communicate with people. It's kind of true. But here I am nonetheless. So here's the deal. I grew up in a very religious and conservative home. So I was taught that sex was dirty and bad until you got married, and then somehow it becomes magical and amazing. In college, I've been able to rethink all of this, and now I'm 100 times more sex positive and have a more you do you, no judgment kind of attitude, which is great. But here's the problem I am constantly facing. I can't tell you how many guys have straight up ghosted me when they found out I'm still a virgin. I'm not saving myself for marriage or anything like that. I'm just waiting for a guy who isn't a complete dick. Normally, we'll hang out and hook up, but never go all the way. When the topic comes up, at first they don't believe me, and then they'll be really cool about it and say that it's fine. They want me to be comfortable and we can take our time, but it's only a matter of time before I stop hearing from them completely. This timeline has lasted anywhere from 2 weeks to a couple of months when we were long distance, and it always ends the same way. I guess my question is, what do I do in this situation where all I want is a guy to stick around long enough so that I can finally fucking have sex? Frustrated bitch. I like this question.
Yeah.
Because it's like kind of unique, but I don't think it's that, because it's not like you're 30. So she's right.
So she's in college.
I lost my virginity in college.
Yeah, not that crazy.
It's not that crazy. I think it's almost like you think of this as like a negative thing, but it's actually a positive thing that none of these guys
are
like just trying
to
like
sweep.
Not even that. Like, who cares about your number, really? Like, maybe in college your number counts because like everyone knows each other, but like after that, no one gives a shit. But like, really, the issue is that like if you, because like the guys who are just gonna like sweet talk you and like pretend to be someone like more into you than they're not, so they can have sex with you, are gonna like really fuck you up, because then they're gonna leave after you've had sex and just like your virginity. So you're gonna be like,
yeah, you're gonna be upset. You're gonna be way more upset.
So these guys are doing you a favor by like bouncing, because like the ones that write, like the guy like really thinks that like you're great and we're worth it, like he's gonna wait and he's gonna hold out and like he's gonna be into it, or he's gonna say something about like.
It doesn't seem like her problem is waiting, like, is, like, that she's, like, making the guys wait. It's more that, like, once she tells them, they're like, oh, I don't want to get involved in this.
Right. Well, it's a lot of responsibility. So it's, like, but you're also then weeding out the guys who don't want to be in a relationship.
Right. Another question is, like, does this girl – it's not even clear she wants to be in a relationship, but she definitely wants to be able to, like, trust this person. So, like, I think that, like, kind of the best bet and, like, only move, unless you want to just kind of, like, get it over with, is to, like – basically wait for someone who is like just okay with it. Like, you just have to wait for someone.
Right. I think it's like you're wait someone and you'll be like fine, because like when you meet the guy who's like okay with it, it's good that you're like honest and like upfront. Yeah. A lot of people would just like lie so that they could like lose it.
Right.
And then like not even let the guy know. So I think it's like really noble, or not even noble, but just like smart and like,
yeah.
and like a good idea to tell them so that they're not wondering what's going on. And if they like really like you, they'll be fine with it. It is a lot of pressure, I think, for a guy, because I think they know that it's like very important for girls, so they kind of are a little hesitant if they're not fully into you to do that, because they might assume
you're going to get attached,
right? Which you probably like will,
yeah.
Like there's especially a very good chance that you will. So I think that's good. You're actually like you're thinking of this as a bad thing, but it's actually a good thing because like now you're basically able to like weed out the guys that like don't really give a shit about
you. Right, you have like a natural thing. Once it's over, you'll be happy that you like waited for the right person.
Right. No one's ever like, oh, I wish I lost my virginity earlier.
Right. And this doesn't need to be like your soulmate. It just needs to be someone that you like trust
and like care about.
Yeah. And you'll know if you can trust the person based on how they behave, because as you can see, these other guys have not behaved well.
Right.
Or what you want them to be. Not badly. They honestly haven't done anything wrong, but like they're not what you want them to be. So like,
right. Better. So I think they're doing you a favor by,
Not even purposely. They just
right.
Are.
Yeah. So like, consider yourself lucky. Wait. Eventually, you'll find a guy who like does care. Maybe take it a little slower and like get to know them, and then like casually reveal that.
Yeah. Don't reveal it like until like you feel like secure.
Right. Otherwise, just don't have sex with them. None of their fucking business.
Yeah.
But for more dating advice, you should definitely pick up our paperback copy of our book. Is coming out on April 10th. And or 11th, one of those days, you'll figure it out. It's called I Had a Nice Time and Other Lies, and you can find a shit ton of dating advice in there from some very wise people, yours truly. Yeah. And check it out.
Yeah.
Let's do one more Dear Betch. You want to read it?
Definitely. Okay. Dear Betches, first of all, so in love with your podcast. Keep them coming. I'll try to make this not too short but not too long with just enough
I love how the reader, how they know. Right. They now are like... They know our...
We've know conditioned us. Them. Yes. Maybe I should do that with Bruce and his pottying. Okay. I started working for an organization early July 2016, about 9 months ago. I was just informed this week that my company would like me to move from my current clinic to a more high-volume clinic in a town about an hour and a half away. My manager said that they would like to be flexible and allow me to determine when I would like the transition to take place, since I will have to be moving to this new location, which happens to have a higher cost of living than my current location. My question for you is it acceptable for me to ask for a pay raise and moving expenses given the change they are asking me to undertake, even though I've been with the organization for less than a year? I am salaried and have not received a raise as of yet. If so, how much would be acceptable to ask for? Also, is it reasonable to ask to wait until the end of summer for the transition to occur, or is that pushing it? Thanks so much for your help. Moving is a bitch. I have an answer.
Yeah, me too. Okay, so I think the general lesson when people ask, like, is it okay for me to ask? Like, you can ask whatever you want to ask. Like, you can and should ask. Like, the worst thing to do is have a question and not ask, because if you don't ask, you don't get, ever.
Yeah.
So unless you're asking for something totally, like, and you'll know when it's, like, completely insane.
Yeah.
Like, if like a 200% raise or something like that.
Yeah.
But, like, you're entitled to ask for whatever you want. Whether or not they give it to you is, like, not always going to be, like, it's not always going to be a yes, but you should always ask for what you want, because you'll never know if you don't ask.
Right. And especially, okay, in this situation in particular, you should definitely ask for, like, a raise for the, like, adjusted to the cost of living of the new place compared to yours. And like, you should probably research this and ask for a reasonable amount and
the amount that's like proportional to like the change in cost of living.
Yeah. And you can definitely ask for moving, like a moving stipend. A lot of people ask for that and a lot of people get them. I wouldn't ask for like more than you expect it to cost. Like, don't ask for like $50,000 to move. Like, look up, like try to figure out what it will actually cost you to move. Like, realistically, whatever that is, that means in terms of like moving, like security deposits, like what furniture, whatever else you'll need that you can't have, like ask for that, like show them like this is the amount that it's going to cost. And then asking about when the transition is going to occur, you can definitely ask for it to happen after the summer, but I think the smarter thing to do would be, if you're going to say that, to give a reason why, and don't make that reason like, because I want to hang out with my friends this summer. Like, you should probably come up with like a legitimate sounding reason. And then,
like, my lease is up at the end of the summer.
Yeah, I don't want to pay like a fee or something. Like, yeah, some sort of reasonable,
rational,
like something that like an adult will appreciate.
Right.
As opposed to like us.
For sure.
Okay. Good luck.
Good luck.
We hope you get it.
If you have any other questions that you want us to answer, please email us at slapped@betches.com. That's SLAPPED@betches.com. We've been getting some great questions from you. We also have this Soap and Glory campaign, as you might have seen on our Instagram, where we're telling people to like nominate women who are like have been like really big role models for them in the workplace. Mm-hmm. And one person I wanted to, that someone nominated was Chloe Coscarelli. She's a vegan chef who's gotten national recognition, like Forbes and New York Times, 30 Under 30, and is currently undergoing a legal battle with a hospitality group that wants to begin serving animal byproducts at her namesake restaurant, By Chloe. I think you're pretty familiar with that.
I actually heard she was in a dispute with her partners and she got like pushed out. So I think she's just having some issues. But either way, go Chloe.
Right.
You're killing it. I love your food, particularly your quinoa taco salad.
Right. So. And she's fighting as an entrepreneur, this woman says, and as a woman for the integrity of her work. She's a total bitch. Please consider her.
She's a great example.
And that comes from Mary Ellen at Pecorina Romana. So thank you for submission. If you guys have any other people that you like think are that we should talk about that are like really strong female entrepreneurs, definitely email us again at slapped@betches.com and we will bring them up next time. I think we have time for like one or two quick games. Let's do shoot, fuck, marry. Let's do shoot, fuck, marry Ed, Nathan, and the hot musical producer from Big Little Lies, since the show is over and it's our last chance to really talk about it.
I honestly like. I don't like any of them.
I feel like Ed's like gonna be the best husband.
Yeah, Nathan.
Fuck. Probably shoot.
No.
No, you've said the like.
Oh, the hot musical. The hot
like music. Is that what you call that job? Director of the musical director.
Yeah. I don't know why he's like gets such like hot screen
time.
I think I would
go with the Madeline route, which is to marry Ed and have sex with the musical.
She probably would shoot Nathan at this point. So
yeah.
Yeah.
I guess we're gonna have to agree with her. Okay.
I didn't like any of the guys in the show, to be honest.
Same.
Yeah.
Okay, one more question is, how much would it cost for you to televise your wedding on TV?
$1 million plus the cost of the wedding.
Oh, not like $1 million to spend on the wedding and you can keep whatever's left over?
No.
How much, like, I feel like $1 million is, like, so much money to spend on a wedding. Like, I don't even know if I'd be able to, like, find enough shit to, like...
Yeah, you could. You just have it a really expensive venue where it's, like, $1,000 a plate and you'll be...
That's
there
still,
in no
like,
time.
Okay, let's say you have 300 guests. That's still, like, $300,000. You still have $700,000 to kill.
Yeah, but do you know how, like, high a floral bill could be if you, like... really go all
out. I guess
out.
I feel like I hate the idea of getting like spending so much on flowers that just die immediately. I would use it to get like my favorite musical guest or something.
Yeah, you could do that.
Or I'd have like Louis C.K. marry me.
Like marry you as
no,
the,
like be like
the guy.
The like officiant. Not like I'm not gonna pay him to marry me. I feel like that would be like a little unromantic.
Right, for sure. I bet he'd marry you.
Oh, that's so sweet.
You're welcome.
I bet you Meryl Streep would marry you.
Thanks, Meryl's my favorite.
Okay. I think we're out of time for today, but
thanks for joining us.
Upset it has to end.
Remember to email us with any questions or comments or just like generally anything you think, but like not that dumb at slapped@betches.com.
Hey, bye.
Bye.